Come on, come on. March 7th, 2012. Got a couple things to discuss. You know, we normally run down the most recent episode of The Bachelorette and debuted a new format for doing that last week.
Or The Bachelor as well.
Or The Bachelor, I apologize. I think that format is going to be somewhat less applicable to this week's discussion, so I think we're just going to have some good old-fashioned banter.
Yeah.
About that, and then we'll try to run through somewhat of a process as far as UNC basketball is concerned, which should be the more exciting of the two topics, and probably be a little bit longer in discussion. So let's put UNC basketball in the rearview mirror. Let's not even put it in the mirror at all. It's just you know, it's like it's tailing us,
It's the cop car. It's the cop car right now.
It's the cop car, but we're not. Yeah, but we're not clever enough to know.
He didn't turn his lights on yet.
No. This it's the FBI car that's tailing us.
Okay.
But we're not sharp enough to know that there's a car tailing us. Like, hey, Julian, did you notice that black Tahoe keeps making the same right turns that we make?
No,
we're
not there.
That's right. Neither did I. That's the point. Neither did I. And that's what UNC basketball is right now. They are effectively tailing us without us noticing.
Mm-hmm.
In our basketball discussion as a whole. So, what is in the car, what's in the back seat with us, or really, if we're in a truck, it's in the middle, in between.
Maybe it's one of those trucks where there is a back seat.
No. I'm saying, you know, like a bench seat in the front.
Right, but I'm saying maybe it's one of those pickup trucks where there's a really tiny back seat.
It could be, but can we both agree that it still would be sitting in the front seat with us, or do you think it's sitting in the back seat?
I think it's probably sitting in the back seat.
Why would you say that versus...
Well, if we're driving a modern truck, they don't have a bench in the front.
Yeah. Let's say it does.
So you want them up front with us.
I mean, I think it's on equal.
What if they're sitting in the middle of the back seat, leaning forward, kind of with their arms on the front seat and talking to both of us? I just feel like it's a safety hazard them sitting in the front like that.
I feel it. If anything, it's driving and we're commenting.
Oh, wow. That's a big shift right there.
I mean, that's effectively what this show is about, is that, you know, the content drives. Mm. The content drives what we talk about.
I like where your head's at. I'm okay with that. So, who's sitting in the middle, and who's sitting in the passenger
seat? That should be decided. We'll choose at the end of the podcast. Okay. We'll let the voters choose. We'll let the listeners decide.
Okay.
Hey, I really feel like Julian was a little bit more in the middle on this one. Gray was kind of just off to the passenger seat, you know, a little bit further away from the discussion. Again, okay. It's not for us to decide.
We'll let them decide.
So let's talk about who's driving this truck.
Okay.
This metaphorical truck. Let's talk about the Women Tell All episode of The Bachelor on ABC.
Yeah.
Julian, are you normally a fan of this show? I mean, I think it's
of this particular episode of the show, you mean?
No. Not of this season, but of this particular episode in all of the shows.
Right.
The Tell All episode.
Yeah. No. Well, no, I'm not. I wish they did it after the season was over. I don't like doing it when there's still two girls left, because I think it's a little weird.
And you made the note last time that usually they don't have one of the remaining contestants come on. They did do that this time.
Yeah.
I think they had to. I think it's initially was started because they were like, ooh, we need to like build some suspense between now and the final episode, and like we can squeeze some more ratings and commercials out of this extra week, like a little bit more income.
Feel like it's weird in terms of the suspense building, though, because it was so focused.
Well, no, it's not. The show, the tell-all show doesn't build suspense. The suspense is built because you have to wait an extra week.
Well, agreed, but they're still showing content, so I think there's still some level of building suspense towards the last episode.
Sure. Okay.
But I think that, contradicting myself, I don't feel like this episode did that very much, because Lindsay wasn't really mentioned hardly at all until the very last, like, preview of her. I mean, it was just a lot of Courtney and a lot of girls being, you know, whining.
Yeah, I just watched it on Hulu, and I think that, like, the part that I saw was, like, previews of the finale, and I think they gave equal time to the
women. They did to that, but that was the last 10 minutes of the whole episode when there was an hour and 20 minutes of no Lindsay at all.
Yeah, you know, no. That was to be expected. I mean, none of the girls wanted to sit there and you know, throw
stones
at Lindsay.
Sure, but my point is that it doesn't build to... Like, I feel like the show a lot of the time is, like, who's Ben going to choose?
Yeah.
Or who's the guy or girl going to choose? And I feel like one's even thinking about that this season. Everyone is just kind of, like, either whining about Courtney or talking about why they got kicked off. And no one's talking about who's going to choose between Courtney and Lindsay. No.
Yeah, well, I mean, so when you think of, if someone told you about this hypothetical show called The Bachelor,
yeah,
you'd never seen it, and and they explained it to you in full detail, and then they told you that there was an episode before the final episode called The Women Tell All, what would you expect from that episode, based on the name?
No, you're right. You're right.
No, I'm asking you to answer the question. What would you expect from that episode based on the name?
I would expect a lot of women whining and complaining, which is what happens a lot of the time.
Okay. See, I think I would expect, like, some behind-the-scenes stuff to come out. Like, oh,
you'd expect it to be more, there'd be some surprises.
Well, yeah, the women tell all, like, the things that didn't make the air.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's the uncut version of the season.
I really think that I would definitely say, why didn't they do it at the end of the season? I think that I would say that. Despite not having seen it. It seems weird to me that the season's still going on and they're doing this.
I think we can both agree that, well, or get to it. My biggest problem with it is that not only the fact that it's a misnomer, kind of how we just explained it, but that it's just such a complete misnomer in general. I mean, like, I don't think I literally heard one woman tell anything. It was just a series of questions. I think that every statement that came out of a woman's mouth was a question. It was either like, hey, how come you called me this on national TV? Or like,
yeah, why'd
hey,
you
Courtney,
call me a stripper?
Right. Hey, Courtney, how come you did this? And, or then when Ben got on, you know, it basically was, hey, Ben, why did you break up with me?
Well, right.
And then from one person to the next, Ben, what I want to know is why you broke up with me. It's like, look, that's not what this episode should be about. This guy broke up with you. He's broken up with 24 girls, okay, throughout the course of this season. All right? So, like, you know, I mean, he can't sit there and explain everything to all of them.
If that's something they really want.
Yeah, and he shouldn't have to. You know, like, I mean, there's a generic explanation that's applicable to most of them, and it's like, I felt a deeper connection with someone else.
Right.
Which covers, hey, I wasn't that into this part about you, or you in general. You know what I mean? Like, I felt a deeper connection with someone else is a nice thing to say. Let's talk about our girl, Emily. What did you think?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of brought up...
She got a lot of airtime.
Yeah, I think she was probably not just our favorite. I think she was a lot of people's favorite. Although we never really got into the fact that we found out mid-season that she went to Duke for undergrad, which did change my perspective of her.
Absolutely, me too. Absolutely, me too.
But I mean, I think it did when she was talking to Ben. I felt like, or when I guess she was talking to Chris and she was discussing why she thought she got kicked off, and she brought up the Courtney thing a lot. It kind of made me wonder if, like, what Ben's real motives were for getting rid of Emily. And, I mean, I think...
You mean it made you wonder if he really did get rid of her because of the Courtney thing, or...?
Well, that's what I want to know. Like, did he get rid of her because of Courtney and because she wasn't focusing on her and Ben?
I don't think so.
I think it was more, I mean, like she was causing some drama, maybe. She was causing conflict.
I don't know. I think that we touched on this the last podcast. Like, even if there's something wrong with, even if the girl is doing something wrong, it's like the same thing with Casey and her family. If there's something that's not directly related about her and her personality and for Ben, her looks and his physical attraction to them,
yeah,
then there's no reason for him not to keep them on until at least the final two. You know what I mean? Like, if it had been, like, Emily was perfect, except for she kept bringing up Courtney, she'd be in the final two with Courtney.
But that's... I would like to know why Ben didn't like Emily a little bit.
Yeah, I would, too, because I agree. I would like to know, because it seems like they were the best fit out of all of them.
Yeah.
In the way that they kind of talked and their perception. And
if anything, I think Emily can do a lot better. I think Emily could do a lot better.
Yeah, but, I think, Ben's very, like, carefully spoken, and, like, he elaborates a lot and, like, tries to be, like, very expressive with what he's trying to say. And Emily is the same way, and they're both a little bit nerdy.
Yeah.
And, I could see Ben going to Duke if he was maybe a little bit smarter.
He definitely would have to be a little bit smarter.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Emily probably is a little bit... But, I think that personality-wise, they were probably the closest match on the show.
Yeah. If you were going to put two people, force Ben to marry somebody and say that this is the most likely way he's going to be happy.
What personality-wise, do you think he's most like on the show? Give me that. Of all the contestants that were on the show.
Most like?
Yeah, most similar to personality-wise.
I almost would say Nikki, actually.
No.
I'd say, Emily would be close.
You're wrong.
But I feel like Nikki, I felt like they, because I think Emily's a lot smarter than
Nikki. Yeah, but I think Nikki is a lot less smart than Ben.
I don't think so. I don't think Ben's that smart.
Well, I'm not saying he's smart, but like he's witty and like, I don't know. He's like, he expresses himself well.
I don't think any girls were that great a fit for Ben.
Yeah, no.
But I think Emily, well...
I mean, I guess we should just go ahead and get it out of the way right now, is that we were tipped off to a little bit of a wrinkle in the program this week by a friend of the podcast who may or may not be a regular listener, but still a friend of a podcast, about a video that Ben was involved in.
Yeah. It's
pretty crude and graphic nature, and it kind of supports some of our arguments. I mean, that certainly changes your perception of someone, that they'd be involved in that. And that was, we found out that was recorded pre him going on to the Bachelorette.
It was before Bachelorette?
It was discovered during his season when he was on the Bachelorette, so.
I see. All the feelings we had where Ben was more shallow, more superficial than we thought he maybe originally was all confirmed.
A little bit more physically driven, right?
Yeah.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
So,
supports the whole Courtney factor.
Right. Having taken all that into account, it comes as no surprise to me that he's choosing the girl that he most likely had sexual relations with first.
Well, he definitely did.
We don't know definitely.
Skinny dipping in the ocean.
Right, I mean.
No, I guess we don't know. Definitely.
He shared intimacy with.
Yeah.
How he described it. So, yeah, I mean, like, okay, let's talk about, I didn't feel bad for Ben. I just thought it was stupid that when he came out, every girl was like, hey, let's get on the line and ask Ben why he broke up with us. Yeah. Let's do that. I mean, like, literally nothing, like, about, like, hey, Ben, do you know that if you choose Courtney, you're making a big mistake because she's, a horrible human being? This is really, like, everyone used their 60 seconds to be like, Ben, I don't understand why we didn't work.
Right. Even girls that got kicked off, like, a while ago.
And even smart girls like Emily. And yeah. I think that this might have been, like, the least... This is the season where the girls are the least cognizant that they're on a reality TV show.
Yeah.
And of this... Like, I just don't think that they ever process that this is, like, a
Except
part
Except maybe of Lindsay. We might... Lindsay might know.
Well, yeah, and
Because we talked about her wall. I mean, she wasn't there.
She didn't tell all. She wasn't telling all, so we don't know.
I feel like with all her walls and not...
But I'd say every single other girl was like... I mean, they just had no concept of like, look, there's 25 women competing against each other, and some are going to be better than others, compatibility-wise. And just because you don't get chosen doesn't mean that you're not as good as other people. It just means that, like, maybe that's not exactly what that person was looking for. You know, like, I think that this... These women on this season have just been, like, really... I mean, horrible processors of the situation. And it... I'm not going to let it alter my perception of women, because I think that this is a bad sample set.
Well, I would certainly not base my opinion on women off of The Bachelor. I think that would be a bad move.
Well, no, but I think that that's one of the points of the show. I think that people, you know, use it to critique relationships and how people act in relationships. And I'm doing that, but I'm saying that I think that how all of these women just kind of, you know, again, like, had no appropriate perception of what was occurring. You know, I'm not going to let that lead me to believe that women cannot appropriately
perceive relationships
or process them.
I feel like most women watching this show probably have similar opinions to the ones that we have. And I would hope that women watching the show don't make opinions about the guys in the world based on Ben as well.
Yeah, and, like, think that he's, like, the perfect guy. Like, I will never meet a more perfect man. Like, Nikki was like, I'll never meet a more perfect man. It's like, I mean, I think that might be true that you may not ever meet a more perfect man, but I'm pretty sure that there's some...
I don't know if she's seen the video. I don't know if she's seen the video yet.
She probably hasn't seen the video, but I don't... She saw that video. I don't know if it would affect her too much. She's a loose cannon, that one from Fort Worth.
I feel like they all... I feel like most of them would probably think the video was funny, apart from maybe, like, Casey B.
Emily?
I don't know. Emily, I think, could maybe like it.
No, absolutely not.
No, I disagree. I think that she would maybe be like...
I don't see her having a tasteless, raunchy sexual humor.
We don't know. We didn't see Ben having that either until we saw this season.
That's a fair point.
And we saw that video.
Very well played. Very well played. Let's talk about Courtney, and then let's wrap it up, because it's making me so depressed to talk about this.
Yeah, this like, that episode wasn't a whole lot to talk about.
It's not even that it's not a whole lot to talk about, it's just, like, all these women are just so illogical, and it's very depressing. So, Courtney comes on, right?
Yeah.
You know she's gonna get grilled.
Yeah, they're dying to grill her.
And the way that they do that is they all just kind of ask her, like, why are you so mean? Why are you so mean to us?
And Courtney basically doesn't give them any satisfaction, because she's not mean to them at all. She just apologizes.
Do you think she's kind of like pleading the fifth in a sense?
Basically like, she knows if she is mean or says anything out of line, that she's just giving them ammunition. So, whether she's being honest or whether she's playing the game.
She cares about whether they have ammunition.
Well, that it would make it worse. That grilling session would become worse if she gave them any ammunition. So I think her attitude is, like, her options are to either just be sorry. It is kind of like pleading the fifth. Whatever you say, I'm just going to say I'm sorry.
Okay, so...
There's nothing they can do. The girls basically ran out of stuff to say.
Well, yeah, they all got off their chest what they wanted to say about how mean she was, and she was like, yeah, I'm sorry.
It made them look very little, because they were just 25 girls, or however many girls were there, yelling at one girl, and one girl had...
Because she's a horrible person.
I know, but to team up like that, and to all be so weak as to be like, you were so mean to us, you hurt my feelings, and Courtney's just like, I'm sorry. She's just one person. There's like 25 of them there. Like, it's on them a little bit.
Yeah,
they were...
I would say that's justified, except for the fact that I think that she was 25 times more hurtful to everyone else than anybody else was. So I think that it's...
But I think they should have been stronger and just been like, she was a bad person and she's crazy. And I'm not going to let that affect me. And I'm not going to just whine at her and complain at her nonstop until she says... Well, they didn't want her to say sorry. They wanted her to be mad, and then they could say more.
Yeah, I think they wanted... Yeah, either that or they wanted a sincere... You know, they and Chris Harrison asked them before the show. He's like, what... You know, what do you want from her? And they were like, a sincere apology.
They didn't really want that, though. I don't think they did, because I don't think they would ever believe that.
Exactly. And I don't think that Courtney was willing or capable of giving that.
It doesn't. I don't think even if Courtney had done a sincere apology, Emyon would have been like, no. No.
Maybe.
You were mean to us.
No, it's...
I feel like that's kind of what happens.
The sincerity is in the eye of the beholder in that situation. It's kind of like you get to choose whether. So choose. Do you think, because Courtney, instead of pleading the fifth and saying, like, listen, what happened in the situation. I was playing the game to the best of my ability, and I'm not going to apologize for anything that I did. I'm sorry. Or not even say I'm sorry. Just like, you know, it ended up the way it was supposed to. She could have said that, but instead she goes... kind of pleading the fifth in an apologetic tone and just being like, look, I'm sorry that I was mean to everyone. I shouldn't have done that. I would have done things differently if I could do it again. And she just kind of repeats that steady line.
Yeah.
So, do you think that she was really sorry?
Do you think we
can know? Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
I have no idea. I think that, I mean, she could have been really sorry. I mean, I think that...
You have to pick. Because we are on a discussion format that...
I think that she was a little bit sorry.
Okay. That's my first... That's 1A on this exam.
Yeah, I'm going to give her, like, 65-70% sorry.
Okay. Here's a follow-up question. Do you think she was sorry? Because you haven't said that you think she was sorry.
Yeah.
Genuinely sorry.
Yeah.
Do you think that she was sorry because she realized that she was really mean and that was wrong? Or do you think she was sorry because she got so much negative publicity?
Yeah, I think the second one. I think
she
realized there's a lot of consequences, and she didn't want those consequences. She thought she could just say whatever she wanted to during the show, and there wouldn't be any kind of backlash. And then all this stuff happened, and I guess tabloids were picking stuff up, and she was having a hard time, and she was sorry that she said all that.
One time that she got really upset emotionally was she was talking about kind of, it, you know, tabloids, like, dragging her family through the mud and stuff like that. And I think she was genuinely upset about that. I think that in a world where there's no judgment on her actions, she would have acted the same way.
Right, but I do think from... In her defense, when you go on a show like The Bachelor, which maybe she had a better realization of the fact that she was in this very kind of false environment, and she kind of got the sense that she could just do whatever she wanted to, and there wouldn't be real life consequences.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's something to be said about a person, like, when you realize you can do whatever you want to do, and you decide to be a raging bitch to everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like... If I was on a show and I realized that I got to do whatever I wanted to do, I would probably choose a number of things before I decided to just be mean to everyone.
I'm for some reason, I'm basically siding with Courtney right now, but I'm not a Courtney fan or supporter.
You're siding with Courtney? Explain that.
Well, I just feel like I've been defending her, basically, like, her outlook on... Maybe she had a... She knew she was in this false environment, so she was kind of taking advantage of being able to do whatever she wanted.
Even though she knew it was being captured on camera.
Yeah.
For all of America.
I mean, maybe she wanted to be entertaining. Maybe she was like a Bentley and just wanted to make a splash.
I guess, you know, and I guess maybe that's... I guess a number of things could have happened. Maybe she started out in it to be a Bentley and then started having genuine feelings for Ben. And so maybe that, I mean, like, I guess there are some, improbable scenarios. Right. There are some scenarios in which she could have offered a sincere apology, but I think she was sorry. I think she was sorry that, you know, she got a lot of negative publicity.
I think she was right. I think she was honest when she said, I didn't think it through. I don't think she did think it through.
Sure. I think that, I think ties into that. If I could do it again, I'd do it differently. Sure, we can agree. Maybe she probably would. I don't think she was sorry for calling any of them any of the names, because she did apologize for that, so...
I agree. I don't think she was either. I don't think she genuinely cared about apologizing to any of the girls, or forgiving, or, you know, or being forgiven by any of the girls.
Do you think that when she said, "I love Ben," or "loved Ben," I don't, but let's not focus on that. Do you think that that was a lie?
That she loves Ben?
Yeah. Or at one point, I loved Ben.
I'm not going to answer that.
The thing is, like, when they show her montage at the end, you know, of her and then Lindsay's, and they each have, like, a 3-minute montage.
Yeah.
If you just watch that, and you didn't watch any of the other stuff with the girls, you would have no idea how crazy she was.
Yeah. But because you know she's crazy, it's hard to believe anything she says.
But, like...
I think. Even when it's
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But, I think she's trying to create this dichotomy where, like, you know, she has this relationship with Ben where she's perfectly honest and everything is wonderful and she feels like she's really herself. And then in the other scenarios is where she becomes someone that she's really not and does these things that she's apologetic for and she doesn't think through. So, I don't know. I don't buy that. I think that's what she's trying to create. I don't buy it.
So you think she's intentionally creating things?
I think that she... I don't think that her negative behavior, classified as negative, quote-unquote, towards the other women is a result of the situation. I think that she genuinely is... That's a genuine part of her. And I think that she... I would say that it's possible that she is really being herself around Ben. I'd say it's more probable that she's maybe playing into this situation. Although I think that she does have some feelings there.
I think she does too. And I don't think she's intentionally... I think she was maybe intentionally being mean to the girls because maybe she was on camera and maybe she was trying to make a splash or something. But I don't think
she liked it. She liked getting a rise out of the other girls because she's a mean person.
Okay, well, yeah. Or she just likes the competitive aspect of it and tried.
Sure.
And her way of being competitive was to try and put down the other girls. I don't think she was intentionally trying to create a dichotomy between the way she was acting around the girls and the way she was acting around Ben. I think that's the result of... I think it's a very direct result of the way she acted.
I don't think she was trying to create that. I think that once... everything had been said and done, that's the explanation that she chose.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. It's
hard to know. And we have one more episode, and maybe things will become clear. I mean,
Do you still think she wins?
Yeah, that's unanimous, right?
Right.
Do you think that
Ben proposes?
Yeah, I think he proposes, but I don't think his proposal means anything. I mean, he even said, like, whoever I want to date after the show.
Sure.
Like, that's what he said at the road, or the tell women tell all. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to highlight that. And then, you know, I have said before that I didn't think he was going to propose. And I guess that we're both kind of agreeing that he's, in reality, not actually proposing, even if he does use a ring to symbolize his intention for moving forward and dating a woman. So, and we know a ring's involved because we see it in the next part. So... really, the only alternative is if he does, like, a different hand kind of thing, but...
Well, the thing is with engagement is engagement doesn't really mean anything. I mean, if they made them get married in the last episode, it would probably be a different show than just proposing. I mean, proposing...
Yeah, that'd be great.
I mean, you can break off your engagement any time. It's basically just, like, dating, but...
I think it would be great if they made them get move in together right away, and then
not even that, just get married right away.
Get married and move in together. No honeymoon because they already had it for a whole season of The Bachelor, and then they filmed them living together for the first probably 3 months because most of them break up within a month's time.
Yeah, did you see the preview
for Bachelor Pad? Frank.
Frank and Allie.
Frank's
I know you
back.
Love that. I know you
our
love
man,
that.
Our man, I love Frank. I love Frank.
Allie and, was my favorite, by
somebody,
far.
Somebody made a comment about Allie being a little bit more overweight than she had been during Frank's season or so. I was like, ouch.
So, no, she looks good. She looks good. Allie is
she's
adorable.
She's all right. She's cute. Yeah. She's cute. She's a little fake for me. But. Okay. Hey, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that during the podcasts that air during the Bachelor Pad and whatever other UNC sports are on.
UNC baseball.
Baseball or summer recruiting.
Football and preview.
Training camp, yeah. Speaking of UNC sports, I think I see a car tailing us.
Oh.
And
wait, is that black car? It's been behind us for a while.
It's been turning a lot of the same turns that we've made.
In fact,
I think it's pulling up next to us.
Oh no.
I think they're asking us. I think they're taking us into custody into that car.
Oh, we're getting into their car?
Yeah, we're getting into their car.
Where are we sitting? We're back seat?
Yeah, we're in the back seat. We're in the back seat.
Is it a Tahoe SUV? Or is it like a...
Well, no, black, it's a Tahoe sedan.
Oh, no. No, is it like a... It's not like a Crown Vic, but black, right?
No. It's a black unmarked SUV.
SUV. Okay. So they're definitely in the back seat.
But
we probably have a little thing in the middle, and they gave us drinks, and we have a little cup.
Either that, or we have captain seats where there's space in between for people to go to the third.
We still
round.
Have a cup holder, though.
Yeah, you definitely have a cup holder, sure. So, considering that we're in the car with cup holders now, and we're enjoying our delicious beverages, yeah. Hey, note to all you sponsors out there, there's an open sponsorship for whatever beverage we're drinking right now.
If you want us to sponsor, or if you want to sponsor us, we will mention your beverage every podcast.
Say, oh, we're in the unmarked Tahoe with your beverage in our beverage holder, enjoying it, being extremely refreshed. Unless you're a hot beverage, and the purpose of your beverage is not to refresh.
But to be honest, most of the time we're not drinking hot beverages. So.
Well, I don't know. Like, what if we're gonna
at night time
outside?
Most hot beverages have caffeine, and I don't drink caffeine after 6 p.m.
Have you ever had decaffeinated coffee?
Yeah, but that's stupid. I mean, I like coffee, but I'm never gonna drink decaf coffee.
There's a lot of people in America that would disagree with you there.
Well, I disagree with disagree with me. I disagree with you. Decaf coffee is stupid.
Don't say me, say them.
I know, I was talking to them.
Well, I'm a part of them. I like,
you like decaf coffee?
I don't drink it often, but sometimes I want to drink a cup of coffee. Like
drink
after
some
dinner?
Tea. Drink
after
some
dinner?
Tea.
Nah, a good cup of coffee, like a dark roast after dinner.
Yeah, it should have caffeine in it.
Why?
Because you just had a big dinner and you're a little bit sleepy. And you want
to
stay
alert. And I
want to
go to bed soon. I want to go to bed after dinner.
You drink decaf coffee?
Sometimes.
No. You drink, like, some sleepy time tea. I don't even drink that.
I do like sleepy time tea. Hey, shout out to sleepy time tea. America's number one pre-sleeping cycle. Warm, non-refreshing beverage.
Maybe they want to sponsor us.
Yeah, you can inquire.
I gotta send them an email. I said we have 20
teetotaler.
We have 20 consistent listeners, and they will all drink Sleepy Time Tea.
Oh, we can guarantee you. Which, to be honest with you, is probably
tea.
That's probably
19.
Okay, all right.
That'll be our slogan.
The 20 tea drinkers that we can supply you is 19 more than you already have right now.
So you're saying you're the only person in the world that drinks?
No, you are.
By that argument,
I said
I didn't even drink it.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Sorry.
And you said I do like Sleepy Time Tea.
I'm playing the odds. I'm going to say that at least one of the 20 listeners out there likes Sleepy Time Tea.
That is the name, right? We're saying that, right? It is Sleepy
Time.
I
think there's a brand. And Sleepy Time is the variety. Kind of like Earl Grey is a variety of tea.
Sleepy Time.
It's a bear with a hat.
He's in a hammock? He's probably in a hammock?
No, never. No.
He's not?
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
Where's the bear sleeping? In a cabin? He's sleeping inside?
Chris. Can you check and see what the logo is? Sorry, talking to our producer in the backyard. He's going to get back to us on that.
Yeah, we want to know what the logo is for Sleepy Time Tea. Where the bear is, if it's a... Do we know for sure it's a bear?
Do we know if it's a tea?
We know it's a tea.
Yeah, but right? Do we know if it's the name? If it's the name of the company?
Sleepy Time. I don't know. I feel like...
Okay, all right. So listen. Chris... Oh, okay. Chris just got back to me. Okay?
Chris did.
It is a... variety of a tea company known as Celestial Seasonings.
Okay.
Sounds right. Sleepy Time Tea by Celestial Seasonings. And the bear is most often...
It's a bear.
The bear is most often pictured in a pajama shirt.
Yeah.
That covers his genitals. So that he doesn't have... He doesn't
so it's a long pants. Shirt. It's a very it's a long, long shirt.
It's a bed shirt. It's a night shirt.
And, we all have one of those.
And one of those pajama hats, you know?
Yeah.
And he's sitting in a green recliner.
A recliner. Okay.
However,
so he's in the house.
Wait. I'm not done.
In a cave?
No, he's in the house. He's not. Okay. He's in the house. However, Sleepy Time's new vanilla variety has the bear in... a Hawaiian shirt,
okay.
Jeans, and a safari hat, and he is indeed in a hammock.
Oh, is he? He's in a hammock? That's
for
awesome.
Only the new Sleepy Time vanilla variety.
You shut me down when I said that there was in a hammock. You destroyed that comment, and I was right. I was 100% right that he would be in a hammock.
You were 100% right when 99% of the time he's in this green recliner.
99%? Is that the proportion of vanilla Sleepy Time versus normal
I'm
going
to have to get Chris to look at that, but it's very clear that...
You got to give me at least like 20% of the time.
No, this is a special variety of Sleepy Time tea that's vanilla.
Maybe that's the kind that I drink. That's why I thought it was a hammock.
Well, then you need to expand your knowledge of... generic Sleepy Time tea images.
I prefer vanilla, just like I prefer vanilla Coke. I think vanilla Coke should be normal Coke.
I disagree. I think Coke Zero should be normal Coke.
Why, because you like bad-tasting Coke?
No, because I think it's time for America to be responsible about the amount of sugar...
Yeah, drink a lot of chemicals instead of normal sugar. That's what you want them to drink.
I'm thinking...
Would you say we're getting off topic?
No. No, indeed not. This plays directly into our all ACC team talk because we're going to pick our all refreshing drink ballot.
Oh, and all so, Sleepy Time?
All tea.
The we laziest all... players in the ACC are Sleepy Time all ACC.
The laziest players in the ACC, that's a tough one. Milton Jennings. Milton Jennings would be on there. That guy is lazy as a mug.
I would have said CJ Leslie. But he's tried a little bit
stepped
harder
it
this
up.
Year.
He stepped it up. Yeah, for sure. Let's not do that one.
No,
we're prepared.
We don't know enough about laziness in the ACC.
No. We should.
We only have so many hours in the day.
And we only have so many less than an hour in this podcast, hopefully.
less than an hour. Yeah.
Julian, let's talk about the Duke-Carolina game that transpired this previous Saturday night. Julian, my hat's off to you, as I've mentioned on Twitter, for predicting a 15-point victory.
Yeah, I was three points off, but...
18 points.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it swung in that direction, then vice versa.
Yeah.
Was Duke ever in this game?
Yes. I think they were in the second half. I mean, we obviously...
11?
Yeah. Maybe it's only... I don't know any... other venues where the team is down by 14, 18 points every time they hit a basket, it feels like they're within two.
Yeah.
Like, it was... I never felt so nervous being up by 15 points before.
It just
seemed like they were about to make a run all the time. And hats off to our guys for responding every time. And they didn't get closer than 11 points And that's great for us to be able to be resilient there. But I was nervous.
And,
that whole game.
And Coach Williams and Kendall Marshall kind of hit on that in the post-game comments. It was like, you know, they knew that's what happened to them last year as freshmen when they went into Cameron in the middle of the season right after Kendall Marshall had started for the first time.
Right.
I think it was like his third game starting. They got up big at halftime, 15 points at halftime. And Kendall Marshall noted that Roy Williams had told him that in the second half he started walking the ball up the court, kind of taking his time, and that he started to do that in the second half of this game as well. And Roy Williams pulled him aside and said, this is what you did last year. You started walking the ball up the court. We don't want to do that. We want to keep attacking. So I think that this team, I felt confident that this team had the knowledge, the know-how, to not get themselves into trouble.
The other thing is that we were up 10 with 2 minutes to go in the Dean Dome. You know, that was in their head as well.
It was, and they didn't, but I don't think it was in their head in a bad way. I think it was in their head, like, they were like, we're not going to let this happen again.
Right.
So I think it was good. You know, UNC now, based on ESPN, played their way into a number one seed. Do you agree with that? I mean, do you think that showing of a dominant performance again, quote unquote, strong, quote unquote, the number three team in the country, Duke. Which is probably more like the number 13 team in the country, if I'm giving them an accurate ranking. But I think that strong of a performance in an ACC finale for the title.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Thank you. Good thing I have my trusty puffs with the lotion here, right next to me.
Nice. No, I think that we deserve a number one seed. I mean, if you want to go power ranking style, I mean, I think we're a top four team in the country. I do.
Yeah, you know what, though? I don't think the margin is that deep between us and maybe two or three teams behind us.
I don't know. I mean, Michigan State was a one seed for a while.
I'm talking about Michigan State. Wow. We can get to this. Let's do ACC tournament first. ACC tournament. Carolina's got the number one seed. That's great.
Just doesn't mean much in the ACC.
Well,
I mean, the top four means something. All the top four teams get a bye, so.
You get a bye. We just found out that Ryan Kelly will not play at all in the ACC tournament.
I don't really care that much.
I think we would have beaten Duke either way. I think that now it's more likely that Florida State beats Duke in the semifinal.
That'd be great.
Because that...
I wouldn't mind getting a second shot at Florida State.
I wouldn't either. We neither.
I think we're going to destroy them if we do.
Yeah, I don't anticipate this team getting kind of dashed by anybody, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, you say that, but, like, you know, the last two national championship teams we've had have lost. I think that we're different. I think that we're different. Than
I don't know. It's hard to pick us to lose a game right now because of our last image of this team.
So, and I will say that I think this team has made it clear that they want to win the ACC tournament. Kendall Marshall tweeted...
Despite Roy Williams' normal comments.
Right. So, and Roy Williams, on Monday, made it abundantly clear that this year he wants to win the ACC tournament.
Oh, well, he did, but he also said...
No, he did.
I know, he did.
He absolutely did.
I know, but he also, as usual, describes... that, you know, 16 games over an 8-week period is way more important evaluation than four games over three game period.
And the most important is the NCAA tournament. Yeah, the two are not mutually exclusive. I think that this year, beyond all years, he wants to win. I will also make reference to Kendall Marshall's tweet before the Duke game where he said 10-0 is our objective starting tomorrow. 10-0 is our objective. So I think these players have in their mind that they want to win the ACC tournament.
It's really hard to pick us losing a game right now until we get to, like, Kentucky-Syracuse level.
Let's talk about Duke real quick. Let's go back to it because I think that the Duke game and the Virginia game and even the Maryland game, to some respect, teams have started kind of taking us out of our element, which is going inside to Zeller for a quick post move. We're finding unique ways to score, which I think is a great... I think we found a lot of unique ways to score in the Duke game. And I think they took away kind of our bread and butter, and I think we took away their bread and butter, and they capitalized by going inside. I mean, both of the Palmies had 15 points in the paint, pretty much.
They had a lot of fouls, though.
It did, but, you know, those are baskets that one-on-one they scored. That's, you know, you just don't see that happen.
Well, so, I think we were happier with that.
I agree with you.
Seth Curry and Austin Rivers, you know, shooting whatever percentage from behind the 3-point
line. Right. I agree with you, but I also think that Duke kind of took away that part of our game. I think we shot a lot of mid-range shots.
John Henson shot the ball really well. Yeah. Marshall did really well. I mean, some guys just
crashed
really
the boards
big shots.
Well, like usual. So I think it to me it was encouraging to see our team score in different kinds of ways than we've kind of made our normal bread and butter during the season. It makes me feel like we're more versatile. It makes me feel like, you know, a team can try to take away something, but we'll find a way to use other aspects of our strengths.
I mean, but I think that the games where we've struggled is when we're not hitting shots. I mean, we've kind of always been a team that had the potential to be a very good jump shooting team and not always been that. And I think when we don't shoot the ball well, I think you'd be saying very different things if Duke was taking our inside game away and then we weren't hitting jump shots, which has happened before. And then we look horrible because we aren't hitting shots, and then we're forcing up shots, we're forcing it inside, we're forcing into double teams. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think success
Virginia
is based
a
lot on...
I think Virginia did a little bit of that.
And we scored, you know, 50-some points and barely won.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think you're right, but I think we're going to have to shoot the ball well, is what it comes down to. We're going to have to make some jump shots.
I think we can survive a poor shooting game, though. I mean, I think, you know, the game...
As long as they don't shoot lights out, yeah. As long as the other team doesn't.
Okay. That's the recipe for disaster. And I think that we can play well and play a team in the NCAA tournament and still lose. I think there's lots of teams that can just play extremely well and you know, just we don't... We always seem to get one of those teams that's their guards that drive really well and also hit threes. I was just going to say, that's, you know, the drive and kick offense usually gives us trouble. Senior guards that are...
Yeah.
You
know, willing to go to the rack pretty hard. I don't know. I mean, I think that this year, you know, if you stack us up against Kentucky or Syracuse or Missouri or Kansas, that, I don't know. I mean, I think that I'd like to see us play those teams. I can't say that.
Too.
I think that, you know, I think we went into the Duke game knowing we were a more talented team. I think we'll go into every game this weekend knowing we're a more talented team and we should win. And I'm interested to see what this team... And I think that... The reason why we shut Duke down in the second half is because we were like, we know we're better than these guys. We know we're more talented. We know that we should win this game. I'd be interested to see how the team responds when they get in a game where they're not so sure that we're the better team and they face some adversity, such as playing a Kentucky or a Syracuse or Missouri or a Kansas or, you know, something like that. Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State to a lesser extent, maybe, but they're still a good team.
They're playing better. They're playing better now.
Yeah, but I mean, no, I think that this is definitely one of those years where, obviously, I'm a Carolina fan and I want to see Carolina do well and I want to see Carolina win the whole thing. But I think I'm also excited about the potential for some really cool matchups, and I would love to see our team really get tested against some of the best teams, you know, come the NCAA tournament. And I think as a neutral. This year, there's a lot to be excited about going into the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
You know, there's maybe 6-7 teams there that could all win it.
Sure.
That you could pick to win it, maybe.
And then teams outside of that could win it. You know.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, last Final there. Four was ridiculous.
Yeah. So, I agree. So, we've got our Virginia theoretically. In a semifinal matchup on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's a team I'm not looking forward to playing.
No. I mean, but... I mean, again, it's just so hard for me to pick us, like, struggling right now just after that Duke performance. It's the last thing in my mind. But, I mean, I think that we're going to be fine. I mean, it's going to be a neutral floor. UVA is not going to have a lot of fans there. I mean, I don't think our team is going to have the opportunity to get really... get rattled, even if we start doing badly. It's going to be more like a home game than anything. And so I think we'll have a little more leeway to struggle a little bit, but still win comfortably.
Right, right. So, who would you rather have in the final, Duke or Florida State?
I'd rather have Florida State. Because I would hate for us to win the ACC regular season and then lose the ACC tournament to Duke. Because for some reason those get...
Is it worth having another shot to destroy Duke?
No, because we won the ACC regular season, and we beat them in Canton by 18 points.
Destroying them again in the ACC tournament would give a little bit more validity.
I think we have enough validity.
I don't. I want a little more. I want everyone.
You want Duke again?
Well, either one.
I'd rather have Florida State and
you win another
put that game to rest. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Either way, I go either way.
So, I think Duke does get up for the ACC tournament again, or always, and I would just be worried about playing them again. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about. You said that you thought Marshall should have made it over Barnes first.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, our whole team, Barnes's numbers are based on Kendall Marshall.
That's true.
And so, it's like, Marshall did a lot of things that point guards don't normally do.
He's still the top three scorer in the league.
Yeah, I know, but Marshall, in terms of assists, was number one in the ACC.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, what do you put a premium on when you're voting for an all-ACC player?
For a point guard?
But do they really go by positions? I mean, you've got...
Not really,
Zeller, Henson, Mike Scott, and Harrison Barnes. Those are four forwards. And
right.
Then one guard.
Yeah. But not
even a point guard. A douche guard.
Yeah, exactly. I think my least favorite person... Here's my argument. The team that won the ACC is led by Kendall Marshall.
You heard how I classified Austin Rivers.
A
douche guard.
Douche. I'm sorry.
Douche guard.
Nice.
Okay.
I thought you said deuce.
Douche guard.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well played. No, the team that won the ACC does not win the ACC without Kendall Marshall. And you can make the same argument about some of the other guys, but I think we take a bigger hit without Marshall than we do.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The other guys.
And it is ironic that he's a finalist for the best point guard in the country award, and yet
yeah.
not. And you know, Jay Billis and people on ESPN have said the same thing. So, you're justified in that. Do you think... So, Harrison Barnes had 153 votes. Kendall Marshall had 151 votes.
Yeah.
I think Austin Rivers had something like 165 votes.
164, I believe.
Yeah. Do you think that the fact that he was so much higher was a pretty clear indication that people did not want to put four Tar Heels on their All-ACC team?
Yeah, they don't want to put four Tar Heels. That's going to be a fact. I mean, I think they want to put a Dookie on there, and Rivers got so much hype. He's a top 16 for the Wooden Award, which is ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Tyler Zeller's not even on that list.
Yeah, he is.
No,
Zeller
is. He's not.
I thought he was.
He did not make it.
The top 16?
Yep, he did not make it.
Okay. I thought I saw he did.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the stats here. You know, Austin Rivers is seventh in the scoring in the conference.
Which is not top five.
Field goals percentage. He is 29th in the conference.
Yeah.
Three-pointers made, three-point percentage, he is...
Zeller is on the ballot, by the way.
Oh, is he?
I just double-checked.
It was something else that he's not on the ballot for, then. He's 16th in three-point percentage, so, I mean, this guy's not putting up top five numbers.
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, there's an argument saying that they were the second best team in the ACC and he was their best player. And they overachieved, maybe. And it was probably because of him. I'm being devil's advocate. I don't think he should be on there.
even Seth Curry and Andre Dawkins, I would say, you know, I mean, I guess just think he's more dynamic. I mean, and the argument is made that teams kind of game play around him. You know, they have to game plan for him defensively. So that kind of brings me into my next point. Did you agree with Tyler Zeller over Mike Scott for Player of the Year?
Yeah. I mean, I'm biased. I mean, sure. I watched every single Carolina game and not every UVA game. But
trying to be unbiased, do you think that that's justified?
Yeah, I mean, UVA didn't even have that great a year. I mean, they had an amazing start to the year, and they fell off a lot. I mean, if they had had a better end to the season and finished top 25.
Well, Mike Scott scored 35 points and had 15 rebounds his last game.
I'm saying if UVA had finished top 25 and had a great end to the season, I mean, they were a bubble team going into that last game.
Yeah, so here's the argument that pundits for Mike Scott are going to make is that everyone knows that Mike Scott is the only scoring option on that team. He's the only person on that team that's going to shoot. He still averages 18 points a game.
Yeah.
He still shoots over...
That's the same argument for Rivers. Well, not exactly the same, but I mean, but like you're saying...
Rivers' numbers aren't as good.
What's that?
Rivers' numbers aren't as good.
No, they're not as good, but he was still getting, you know, focused on a lot.
So, but isn't it impressive that, like, everyone knows that Mike Scott is the only good player in Virginia, and all you have to do is defend him to beat Virginia, and yet he still scores almost 18 points a game, and he has...
What's his field goal percentage?
Over 50%.
Yeah.
He had over eight rebounds a game.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's good.
Is he better than Tyler Zeller?
He's probably more versatile than Tyler Zeller.
Okay.
But, I mean, Zeller was a very consistent scorer.
Zeller had more rebounds per game.
Yeah.
Less points per game.
Mm-hmm.
But he also had
other people taking points away from him.
Okay, so that's my point. That's my point. Is this in the same vein where you say that, you know, it's impressive that Mike Scott is the only person on Virginia, and it seems like teams could just defend, you know, to shut him down, and he still scores X number of points. In the same right, Tyler Zeller is on a team full of scorers besides Kendall Marshall, and he still averages...
Even Marshall. Occasionally. Drops 20. So...
Occasionally. So I think that argument can be thrown out the window. And so yeah. I think that, you know...
I mean, it's the same argument with Stoglin. Stoglin was the leading scorer in the ACC.
You know Tyler Zeller didn't take a three-pointer this year?
He took a lot from 2 inches inside the three-point line, though.
Yeah, that's interesting to me.
He loves it just like 3 inches inside the three-point line. He loves to take that shot.
I think he took a three-pointer in 2 years ago.
Yeah?
I don't think he took one last year. I feel like he did.
So I mean, it seems like he'd be able to hit it.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
He makes that one shot from just inside all the time. I feel like he's like 90% from there.
Maybe he's saving those threes for the tourney.
Yeah.
Maybe he is.
Same with Henson. He loves it like 3 feet inside, but if you were to shoot a three-pointer, I guarantee he'll miss it. I don't know what it is. There's just this line that some players, like, they go a certain distance away and they can no longer hit that shot.
Yeah, so defensive player of the year goes to John Henson.
Yeah, no one's going to complain about that.
Well, I have heard people complain. He did average the most rebounds per game.
But what about blocks?
He was first in blocks per game by a good margin.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think the only person who can kind of stay with him in both of those categories is Bernard James. But then you get into the, like, argument, like, for, like, steals and, like, guard, like, who's a tougher guard defender. But yeah. I don't even think that there's really anybody exclusive. I think the only person that I've heard... Really
a guard is never going to get Defensive Player of the Year award.
It happens.
Okay, well, it seems... It's a lot harder to do. Let's just say that.
You got to be...
Without the block shots...
Gonna be shut down guard. It's gonna be like
very known.
Yeah, but it's harder to judge.
Like, there was a guy on Florida State like 4 or 5 years ago that got Defensive Player of the Year.
Tony Douglas?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, he was their guard that was really good for a long time.
Let's not guess, because we're probably wrong. all right, so let's throw out a couple of... Coach of the Year, Leonard Hamilton, yeah. Florida State. By one vote over Coach K.
I mean, I'm glad it wasn't Coach K. I mean...
Explain to me how Coach K gets 40 votes to Leonard Hamilton's 41.
I guess the argument is that... They really
Please
just,
give me the argument.
The argument is, not that I agree with it, but they really rate Duke's players a lot lower than they should be. They seem to think that this is a bunch of scrubs on Duke's team,
right.
That Coach K has gotten to win all these games that they shouldn't win.
Okay.
Just because they lost Kyle Singler and Nolan
Over
Smith.
Five McDonald's Americans.
Right. These are not scrubs.
They got
the number one play, like high school recruit in the country.
Four five-star players, 7 4-star players.
Right. It's silly. It's silly. They're good players. He's not.
They were picked to finish second and finished second.
Right. Although Florida State was picked to finish third and they finished third. To be fair. However, they started horribly.
I think it's their out of conference success that really paved the way for them.
Florida State's?
Yeah.
They had a horrible out of conference.
Well, maybe that was...
They lost all their games.
Them beating Carolina by 33.
Yeah.
And beating
Duke.
No,
it was their ACC play they got.
Yeah, and they beat Carolina and Duke.
Yeah. They lost to 2 Ivy League schools, and then lost to Clemson by 20.
Hey, Ivy League's tough this year.
It's tougher than it normally
is. Ivy is tough this year.
Yeah.
Let's give away our all ACC villains team. People that you just hate.
I mean, it's going to give us a lot of UNC bias when we make this list. We're going to have a lot of UNC bias. But obviously, I mean, there's Austin Rivers is on there.
You got Austin Rivers and Miles Plumlee.
Yeah, I mean, if we're struggling to find someone, Mason Plumlee goes in there too.
No, we're not struggling, don't worry. Austin Rivers and Miles Plumlee.
Dulkies.
You gotta go with Dulkies as the other guard. Okay.
Drop 32 on us in Tallahassee.
When he was averaging 3.
Yeah.
You know who I'm gonna put on? We're gonna have a 3-guard roster. You know how I'm gonna put on?
It's like Illinois 05. 3 guards.
No. This I'm going Nick Faust. I don't like that guy.
What do you mean no?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I know
Illinois, the team we beat in 2005, played 3 shooting guards.
Okay, fine. So a lot of teams play 3 shooting guards.
Yeah.
Duke plays 3 shooting guards.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dawkins, Curry, and Rivers.
Dawkins doesn't start a lot.
And Thornton. Thornton plays point guard.
Yeah, I mean, they had a very
let's not get bogged down in this. Let's talk about people we hate. Coach is obviously Coach K. I there's no one that I hate more.
There's not another coach in the league right now that I hate.
There's that you hate. Yeah. No, I agree.
I have no problem with any coach apart from Coach.
So we've got Austin Rivers. We've got
Miles
Dulkies. I put Nick Faust on there because I do not like him.
Sure.
Do not like his little sneer. He's got a sneer to him that I do not like.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I guess the other person that we could put is CJ Leslie.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I mean, I just, you know.
He's a
little cocky for never realizing his 5-star potential.
He's a little bad for being a 5-star is what he is.
He's a little bad.
He is. He's not that good. Maybe he will be. Maybe he'll destroy us next year. I don't think so. But
is he staying?
Yeah. You think he's leaving?
I don't know.
I bet you Godfrey will get him to stay. He's going to flop if he goes.
They're going to be good next year if he stays.
Yeah, they're going to be good. They got 3
5-star
recruits. 4/5-star.
5 stars. They're all 5 stars.
Three 5-stars.
Wait, no. 2 5-stars and
a— they have 3 top 50s.
2 5-stars and a 4-star. Yeah.
3 top 50s, definitely.
Yeah. So, and then I wanted to give out, like, my all-coaches award team. Like, the players, they don't necessarily have the most talent ever. But yeah. Darn it, did they give their all. And did they, you know, did they just, they over-excel their potential.
Yeah.
And I got to put 2 Clemson players on this list.
Okay.
I got to put my man Tanner Smith.
Yeah.
Who looks like the most unathletic white person you've ever seen in your life. Still averaged over 10 points a game.
Sorry about the train, by the way.
That's okay.
You can hear that.
That's all right. Just really, I mean, put the team on his back at times.
Yeah, he'll shoot it. He'll shoot it pretty well.
Another player I'm going with is Baichu. Caitlin Baichu. In Clemson.
Okay.
That's what I'm
going. Okay.
Would you put Justin Watts?
Yeah, you gotta put Justin Watts. I mean, he tries really hard.
He's probably better than a lot of these guys.
He's not better than Tanner Smith. Justin Watts plays like 5 minutes a game.
Yeah, because he plays on Carolina. He'd probably start for Clemson.
You don't think Tanner Smith would play? No. Justin Watts wouldn't start for Clemson.
This is
how many minutes would Tanner Smith play for Carolina? A lot more than Justin Watts.
No, absolutely not. Because he would have never developed into the player that he was coming to Carolina to begin with, because he would have never played significant minutes.
Disagree. Oh. I think that he would have. I think Roy's a great coach. I think he's a good shooter. He would have played.
He's not a good shooter.
Yeah,
he's an average shooter. He's an average
shooter. He's an above average 3-point shooter.
Tanner Smith shot 35% from 3.
Yeah, that's because he has to shoot it so much.
Oh, now we're just backpedaling. Just ride on that bike backwards.
What does Justin Watts shoot? 1-0 for 1 each game?
He doesn't get to shoot it ever. Tanner Smith is...
I love how you say Tanner Smith puts Clemson on his back sometimes, and then you're saying Justin Watts is better than Tanner Smith.
I think Justin Watts is more skill. He has more skill.
No.
And he's more athletic than Tanner Smith.
Well, he's black.
Okay.
So that's what you mean.
All right. We were originally going to call this team the anti-extra tendon team, but then we decided that was too racist. So now we're calling it the Coaches Award team.
But you put Justin Watts on there. You just offended Justin Watts. You put him on the all. You put Justin Watts on the all white team.
No, that's what I said. I said, should we put him on there?
I don't want to put Justin. Well, I actually said we should put him on there.
I got two on there. What do you got? No.
Why not?
Because I don't think that he's achieved enough to be on there.
Achieved? Why not?
I'm talking about highly achieving guys that just aren't athletic at all.
Scott Wood.
I'm not going to say you're wrong for wanting to put Scott Wood on there.
I'm not going to say that I like Scott Wood, but for being someone unathletic that's achieving something...
Is he that unathletic? I feel like he's kind of...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He's tall. I mean, he's tall. He's not athletic.
Have you seen him dunk
on anybody?
Or somebody who maybe doesn't have that much natural talent that achieves a lot. Like, Scott Wood is a shooter.
Like a Jackie Manuel.
Like a Jackie Manuel. Or, like, a Tanner Smith.
Who's not good, but apparently puts Clemson on his back and wins games.
He does. He wins games with his heart.
Yet Justin Watts would play over him.
He would. He absolutely
would. According to you.
He absolutely would.
No way.
Absolutely.
Justin Watts isn't good. He's not.
More talented than Tanner Smith.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Pick up ball, you pick Justin Watts over Tanner Smith.
Absolutely.
We're playing in Woolen.
Every day of the week.
You pick Justin Watts.
Yeah, after Justin Watts has worked out for 5 hours straight, I would
still...
Yeah,
his arms are tired.
I would still pick Justin Watts.
He can't even lift the ball anymore.
I would still pick Justin Watts over Tanner Smith. Every day of the week. Every day.
I don't know why you think so highly of Justin Watts. I mean, this year, he's playing less minutes, so I'm okay with it. Last year, when he was, like, one of the 5 guys that Roy put in at a time, and he would be playing 4, I was so frustrated because he was so bad.
He wasn't great. He's better this year.
I mean, I get that he's like an emotional leader on the team. I like that he's on the team. I'm fine with him playing 5 minutes, getting an offensive rebound, and getting a putback.
Just not playing very much. Just not getting very much playing time.
What's the product of that?
The fact that he doesn't, that his output isn't that strong.
So he'd have a lot more naturally talented.
I think he's naturally talented.
He had a chance to be to have a lot of minutes last year, and he didn't.
I don't. Let's not get into this. Let's start naming some more players. You know, I'll always have a special place in my heart for John Kreft from Florida State. Another guy inside. Yeah. So basically, we got two forwards. A small two power forward, a small forward, and we need some guards. We need some overachieving for their talent wise guards. Dulkis?
You kind of have to, don't you? He's from like Lithuania or something.
Yeah.
He's from Lithuania or Latvia.
We could have done an all international team.
Could we have?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many are there?
Plenty.
Yeah.
Baichu, State's got a couple, Boston College's got plenty.
Who does State have that plays?
We're
not talking about Ilyan Evtimov here. Ilyan Otzer.
Yeah, they're both. They're both foreign. Otzer was right. Otzer was from Turkey.
I don't remember. But that was
okay. Hang on.
They're not on the team anymore.
Hang on, I'm coming at you here.
You mean Chris is looking it up for you?
Chris is getting into this. Thomas DeFay, a freshman from Dendermonde, Belgium.
Belgium, like okay. I was going to name someone else, but then I realized they were not from Belgium.
Also, Jordan Vanderberg, who actually
he's Australian.
He's Australian.
Does that count? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that in America? I can't remember.
He doesn't play, though.
Okay. All right. Tell me.
He doesn't even dress out this year, even though
he does. He averaged 2 minutes a game.
2 minutes. Okay. In the ACC, he wasn't dressing out.
No, he averaged 2 points per game. 2 points per game. He averaged 11.9.
He did not play against Carolina either time.
Julian.
He did not.
Julian, listen. He averaged 11.9 minutes per game for State this year. That is over a quarter of a game.
And did he play? Is that ACC or is that the whole season?
It's the whole season.
Yeah. He did not get out of his jumpsuit for ACC games.
I don't care.
Okay, you're right. He started against UNC Pembroke. And he started against.
Hey, they had a tough match. They were in a dogfight against UNCP. All right, my computer's about to die. Give me your tournament, your ACC tournament predictions. Who's in the Final Four? Okay, hang on. How many teams do we get into the NCAA tournament? Is Virginia in for sure? Do they have
I think they will
win their first game.
They have to win their first game, but they will.
What about State? Any chance they get in State or Miami?
No. Unless either of them get to the finals.
State would have to get to the finals to get in.
Miami, I don't know.
Meaning they would either beat Virginia or North Carolina. They would beat Virginia and then North Carolina to get into the finals.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think we're going to send four. I don't think Miami or State get in. Well, Miami, if they do, I don't know what their bracket is, but they would have to get to at least
Florida State or Duke to get to the final.
I mean, if they got to the final, I think they would. It's possible.
They had a chance till they lost to Boston College, the worst team in the ACC.
Florida State did, too. Yeah. I don't know how Boston College got four wins.
Hey, man. They're just doing their thing. Steve Donahue.
They have a bunch of, like, seven freshmen or something.
Absolutely. All right, so we'll regroup about the Heels next week. How about that? Talk about this
tournament.
We know we'll know our bracket. We'll also know who Ben chooses as his.
So we're both picking UNC to win ACC tournament. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that this team, more than others who could benefit from the extra rest. This team, for their psyche, needs to win and wants to win and will win.
I do think that it would be bad for our psyche if we lost.
I do. I think it, versus other years when it didn't matter, it'd be better because we get to rest. This year, it would be bad if we lost.
I agree.
Agreed. Let's end it on that. Good luck to Lindsay and good luck to the Heels. Oh.